We open our Bibles together tonight to God's Word in Hebrews chapter 11. A very precious chapter of the Bible that we call the chapter on the heroes of faith. Tonight we will read the first 19 verses. And our text will be the verses 13 through 16. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. To that point we read God's word. Let's come before him in a moment of prayer to ask for his blessing on his word. Our Father who art in heaven, we have just read that it was by thy word spoken that the creation came into being. And also we believe through thy word that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Also in thy word thou hast said that thou art pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We are gathered now in this hour for the purpose that the scriptures may be opened, may be preached to us, and that the greater creation than even of the world might continue in our hearts, that thou wilt create in us and keep in us and strengthen in us true and living faith through thy word. Thou hast chosen the weakest of means in order that the glory and the excellency may be of thee. So open our hearts and take our minds from the earthly and fix our mind and heart for these moments on this precious word of God. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's read our text one more time. Verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. A true and living faith, which by God's grace unites us to Jesus Christ, that true and living faith lives every day and every moment in the light of eternity. When God works in your heart true faith, he stamps eternity on your eyeball. When he gives you true and living faith, you see eternity. You see through the eye of faith eternity. Faith never loses sight of eternity. This is how faith sees the world and everything that happens to me in this world. This is how faith functions day by day. This is how faith lives. Faith always looks beyond this world, beyond the events of this time, and looks to eternity and to the goal that is before us of that beautiful city in glory. Faith looks beyond the temporal to the eternal. Faith looks beyond the earthly to the heavenly, to that secure heavenly. The world says to us as Christians tonight as we gather in church, blind faith, when are you going to look up and see? We respond, not blind faith. Blind unbelief. It is unbelief that does not see anything. It is an unbelief that we would live in darkness and we would simply follow others in darkness and fall into an eternal ditch. Faith sees eternity. Faith sees reality. We see everything in the light of eternity. We see people in the light of eternity as either in Christ or not in Christ. We see possessions and every earthly thing that touches our fingers in the light of eternity as that which will soon disappear. We make our priorities in the light of eternity. That, in the light of eternity, tells us what is important for me tonight in my life. We see popularity in the light of eternity, that it is a vain thing. Faith is not myopic. It is not a short-sighted life. It is not a life without insight into life. Faith sees pain, sees trial, sees cancer, sees death, sees affliction, sees impossible burdens that we are called to bear We see it all in the light of eternity, as the way that the Father is leading us and preparing us for eternity. Faith makes her decisions in light of eternity. Who I'm going to marry. How I'm going to use my time. Where I'm going to invest my abilities that God gave me. Who will be my friends. Faith is not an ostrich which sticks its head in the ground and sees only the earthly. But faith sees that this world is passing away, but he that doeth the will of God will live forever. Faith sees life in terms of eternity and Christ at God's right hand, ruling over all things for our glory. Do you see that? This is how the men and women of Hebrews 11 lived. Chapter 12 tells us that these heroes of faith are as a cloud of witnesses observing us in our Christian race and encouraging us to run on and to press toward the mark of eternity. These heroes of faith were those who, by God's grace, looked beyond the moment and looked to eternity, to the promises of God. It was this, the promises of God and looking forward to eternity, that was the reason they did what they did. It was the strength that kept them in their trials. It was what guided them in their life. It's what pulled them. It is what pressed in them their hope. You notice verses 13 through 16 in Hebrews chapter 11. If you notice its place in that chapter, you'll see that these verses are an interlude. They're a pause right in the middle of the chapter. The chapter is going from verse to verse, giving us one example after another of men and women of faith. By faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah. Then we come to verse 13 through 16, the interlude. And at verse 17, the apostle picks up the rhythm again, and he says, by faith Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, by faith, but now we have an interlude. Because the Holy Spirit, because the apostle is a good teacher, in other words, it stops and it says to you, do you get it? Do you see the common thread that is running through each one of these who live by faith? Do you see the essential point? Do you see the main thrust? They lived life in the light of eternity. They saw the promises. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. And seeing eternity is the explanation of why they lived as they did. They lived by faith in the light of eternity. Do you? Do I? What looms so big tomorrow? What is so large before your eye tonight? What is it that is pressing and determining your heart and soul? Is it that great burden? Is it that trial? Is it rejection? Is it this world and what this world can give you? What is before our eyes? Faith says, everlasting life, the promises of God. This is before my eye, and this determines everything. I call your attention to living by faith in the light of eternity. Following the text, we'll see that faith fixes itself on God's promises. That faith, therefore, confesses in this world that I am passing through, I'm a stranger. And that finally, faith, therefore, is always desiring a better country. When God works true faith in your heart, it is as if He takes a branding iron and He brands upon that heart in Christ the promises of God in Christ, so that those promises are fixed in your soul and nothing can erase them. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Now, first tonight, let's see something that is very wonderful and that is very comforting here, just for a moment. We don't want to miss this point of blessed assurance. These all, that is Abel, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Sarah, these all died in faith. Stop right there. That's saying that all who are given by God true faith will die in true faith. That's a simple, beautiful statement of eternal security of the believer. We read in Romans 11, verse 27, the gifts of God are without repentance. God does not change His mind in His gifts. God has given the gift of faith. And where He has given that gift of faith, that faith cannot be lost. Philippians 1, verse 6, He that hath begun a good work in you, that work of faith, will perform it even unto the day of Christ. None of those who are given true faith in Jesus Christ, the gift of God, will fall away from that faith, will apostatize from that faith, will depart from that faith, even when we come before the last enemy, which is death. What will that be like to face death? Nobody here knows because we're living. But everybody here, unless the Lord returns, will die. You will stand before death. You will come to death. What will happen to my faith? You will die in faith. Faith, God's gift, is incorruptible. It cannot come to an end. It can't come to an end because faith is union to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our faith may be and often is weak and small and little. And when we give ourselves over to the flesh, then according to the canons, we do not always feel the exercising of faith. We interrupt the exercise of faith. We can, in our flesh, deny our faith, as Peter. But when God plants faith in the soul, in the heart, when that gift of faith is given, it cannot die. It may be small, but God will revive it, and God will build it, and God will keep it, for it is in His Son. How important to begin with that tonight. This world and everything in it, and all the works of men vanish and perish, and all of our works slip away. We pass away. But there is not one who has been given faith, who slips through the cracks, who stumbles and falls. But we shall be upheld by the hand of God. We shall be given grace to trust Him. We have received this gift from God, faith. And there may be many fears and many trials and many struggles. But faith is everlasting. These all died in faith. Now the point of the text is that faith is fixed on the promises of God. It is attached to those promises. And is attached to those promises even though now we do not see them in all of their fulfilled perfections. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Not having received the promises, what does that mean? Well, it does not mean that they did not hear and receive God saying to them the promises. They had received God's promise and promises. And we know, and we're thankful for this, and that even our children, we trust, know this, that all in the Old Testament and all the people of God know the promise, which is Jesus Christ, and all the promises of God in Jesus Christ. We know that from Genesis 3, verse 15, that God spoke that the seed of the woman would destroy the serpent. The mother promise, the first promise of Jesus Christ. And we know that in the Old Testament, God kept speaking that promise to bring His Son, our Savior, and fulfill all of His promises in Christ. And God expanded on those promises so that the people of God in the Old Testament had the promises of God. And Abraham and Sarah, of whom He has just been speaking, had those promises, the promises of a seed. Though for 25 years when they lived in Canaan, they couldn't have a son. But they had the promise of the seed, which is Christ, says Paul in Galatians 3. They had the promises that all the nations of the world would be blessed in Abraham. They had all the promises of God in Christ. But they were not fulfilled. They were not completed in their lifetime. They went to their deathbeds hearing the promises of God in the ear of faith, but not seeing them actually in time accomplished and fulfilled. In fact, Abraham saw virtually none of it fulfilled. Yet Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 read, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham and Sarah's faith was fixed on the promises of God. And they were fixed on the promises of God because God had made them. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. They believed that God would fulfill every promise. Our faith must be fixed on the promises of God in Jesus Christ tonight. We have seen those promises fulfilled to a much larger extent than Abraham did in his day. We have seen that the Lord Jesus Christ has been born, crucified, risen, ascended up into heaven, and at the right hand of God. But even though we have seen that, all the promises of God that are in Jesus Christ are not yet attained by us. We have not yet attained those things. God has promised us tonight. These are His promises in Jesus Christ. God has promised us that all things work together for good to them that love Him. That's His promise. But we don't always see that. And apart from faith, we can't see that. And we struggle with that. And we say, how? How can this be for good? It can't be for good, we say, apart from faith. I don't believe that. I can't see that. God has promised us the day when sin shall be no more. My sin will be gone. That old man will die in that day of death or in that day of Jesus Christ. He has promised us that this world is going to come to an end in the return of Jesus Christ on the clouds of glory. He has promised us the resurrection of the body, of this body that decays and is eaten by worms. He has talked to us of a new heavens and a new earth, eternal, that shall live and go on forever and ever. These are the promises of God. We have not yet seen them completed. But faith is fixed on the promises of God because God has made these promises. Faith is fixed on God's promises. What a wonderful testimony this leaves to God's glory. But what a wonderful testimony is left. What a wonderful testimony was left by Abraham and Sarah of their faith, that they died believing all God's promises. What a wonderful testimony that is left by the believer, by you, living by faith and embracing those promises and testifying to your children of those promises with absolute certainty. Mom, your influence upon your children, your faith goes beyond you. It goes beyond the grave. Pour your life into your children. Testify of the certainty of your faith, of a faith that peers into eternity and sees what's there and embraces it, having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Faith has an eye beyond time, beyond death. No man can see beyond time, beyond death, but faith does. We do. Faith looks beyond the boundaries of time, beyond the ability of the human mind to conceive or know, beyond what a microscope can see, and beyond what a telescope can see. They can see nothing unless one looks by faith. Faith sees the unseen things of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith sees the things and embraces the things that God has spoken to us. Faith does not say, well, I hope so. I'd like to think that. Faith does not say, well, I suppose if you want to think that way, more power to you. We'll wait and see. That's not faith. Faith knows. Faith is persuaded. Faith sees it, is persuaded. Faith embraces it. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word embrace means to welcome, to greet, to shake the hand, to embrace with delight. The word embrace here refers to one who has come to your door. There he is, and you embrace him because you love him. Faith embraces the promises of God. It is not simply what faith sees and embraces. It's who faith sees and embraces. Faith sees Jesus Christ. Faith sees him crucified for my sins. Faith sees him risen again, enthroned, ruling at the right hand of God, ruling in my heart, living in my heart by grace. We lay hold of him by faith. We embrace him by faith. And when we embrace him by God's grace through faith, we embrace all the promises that are in Christ. You remember in John chapter 8, when Jesus, in a dispute and controversy with the unbelieving Jews, and he says at a given point in that controversy to the Jews, "He that believeth on my words shall never die." And they say to him, "What are you talking about? Never die? Abraham is dead. Are you greater than Abraham?" Do you remember the Lord's response? He said to them in John 8:56, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw me. He saw my day. He saw the promise that God had made in the seed in Jesus Christ." Faith looks to the future and sees Christ and is persuaded and is glad. We often say to God, "Don't you see what is happening to me? Aren't you aware of the troubles of my soul? Do you not look upon my fears, my anxieties, my sorrows?" We sin when we talk that way, but that's the way we often think. Has God forgotten to be kind? How, Lord? My judgment is passed from my God. And God says, "Oh, my child, I see. I know. I know all. I know the weight of every sorrow, of every care, and every burden. And I have apportioned grace sufficient. Oh, yes, I see. But do you see, my child? Do you see my promises in Jesus Christ? By faith. By faith that I have given to you." Faith is fixed on the promises. And therefore, faith confesses, "I'm passing through this world." Verse 13b, "They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that declare such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They confessed that they were passing through this life, through this world, through its system, that they did not belong to it, that they were pilgrims and strangers. Literally, we read, and having confessed. They have confessed this. Now, to confess means that you say the same thing as God. That's what the word confess means, to say the same as God. And that means, therefore, that God first of all said to them and to us, He first said to us, you are a stranger in this world. He said that to them, you're a stranger to this world because I've given you a different life that's not found in this world, the very opposite of the life of this world, which is death. I've given you life, eternal life. And therefore, you don't belong to this world. You don't have an abiding place in this present world. This is not your home. You're passing through. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. And they confessed, that is, they said back to God, that's right. That's right. I am a stranger on this earth. I feel that. I don't belong here. But the life that God has given me belongs there. And therefore we say tonight, this world is not my home. It is elsewhere. When you go home tonight, and you're at home, you've had a very busy holiday season. You get a little older, but maybe younger too. Even a boy, a little boy and girl, we get to go home tonight. You have your favorite spot. You feel so comfortable. This is home to you. When you get to that spot tonight, we're home in that special place. You're not at home. You're not at home. Your home is in another place that you see by faith. If we walk in the flesh, we can't see it. We are in darkness. If we walk according to our flesh, we say, this is my home. We say, let us eat, drink, and be merry. If we walk in the flesh, we say, I'm not going to be shortchanged in this life. I'm going to get it to the max. I'm going to grab what's for what is mine. I'm going to live for today, for me. But when we live by faith, we confess, this world is not my home. It's not my portion. The Bible tells us that this world is a shadow. That means it's just like in the summertime when you see those white clouds moving quickly over a parking lot or over water, and you see the cloud moving along. It's just a shadow. This world, says the Bible, is a span. A span is 18 inches, half a foot, compared to 10,000 miles. This world is a moment, says the Bible. What is that moment? The moment of this life compared to eternity is the amount of time between flipping a switch in a dark room and the light coming on. That's all it is in comparison to eternity. We don't belong. We are pilgrims and strangers in Christ. We see another place, and that determines everything in our lives today. If you visit India, or for that matter, any foreign place, but India is, we use the word exotic, is different. And you get off the plane and you know you're not home. Everything is different and everybody knows you are different. You don't need to tell them that you're not from India. The moment they see you, and then for sure you confirm it when you open your mouth and when you speak, it's very plain that you are an outsider. Your habits are different. What you know is totally different. This is exactly true of faith in this world. This world is different. The child of God, when we walk by faith, is identified. We identify ourselves when we speak, not just when we quote a Bible verse, not just when we have our Sunday clothes on and the neighbors see us come home, but we live out of a different principle. And when we live humbly and faithfully to the Lord, this world knows that our citizenship is not here. There's something odd about you. This world is our passageway. It's not our portion. It's not what sustains us. Our portion is above. We don't live for its popularity. We don't live for its things. And that's why it is so important to belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's why we come to church. Maybe you've had the experience that when you travel in a foreign land, and then suddenly you see someone from your own country, you just know he's an American, or even more pointedly, you recognize someone. You recognize that woman that you saw at Aldi, and now you're in Italy, and you're at the Vatican, and there she is. Now, when you were in Aldi, you didn't talk to her. Just another person, another shopper in your way. But now, she's from Hudsonville. And you become fast friends because you are strangers in a foreign country. So in this world, the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, are the kindred spirits of faith of the same country. We join with them. We share with them one life in Jesus Christ. We find here in this church tonight something you can't find in the world. In the Church of Jesus Christ, our hope, our promises, our life in Christ. That's why we are here. And we become excited to join the company of fellow saints, fellow pilgrim strangers redeemed in Jesus Christ. The church is like the pilgrims on the Mayflower. We're in the midst of the waves of this world and its dangers, but we are together in one faith. That's why the church and being here and loving her is so vital. And we confess, we do have a home. For they that say such things, that namely that they are pilgrims and strangers, declare plainly that they seek a country. And because of that truth, that we have a home, that we have a country that we belong to and that we're seeking, we say also to the world, I will not go back to you. I cannot return to you. I cannot return to the land from which I was taken. That belongs to our confession. I am a stranger and a pilgrim on this world, in this world. This world is not my home. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. What that is saying to us, that Abraham and Sarah and the saints were drawn out of a country. They came out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And when they lived by faith, they did not return to that land, though they had plenty of opportunity to have done so. They did not return to that idolatry. They did not return to that immorality. They did not return to that paganism. They could have gone back if they wanted to. Abraham and Sarah in their tent at night with conversations. Perhaps Sarah said, "Abraham, I'm so lonely. There's no other woman here. Hardly any other woman. Our children, who are they going to have friends with?" Abraham says, "I know, Sarah. I have the same thing. There's weariness. And yes, I sometimes think of what it might be like back home, and that home that we had in the Ur of Chaldees with its furniture and all the rest. We could go back there." Maybe Noah and his family, 120 years in building the ark, and his sons would come to him, "Dad, we've been at this for 120 years. They're all ridiculing us. They're all laughing at us." And that world before Noah's flood, that world was so exciting that they were marrying and giving in marriage, even until they were so wrapped up in this life, in all the things and the drinking and the pleasures of sin. But they didn't go back. They could not go back. You want to go back? Anyone here tonight confessing the name of Jesus Christ want to go back? You want to throw off the yoke of Jesus Christ? You consider that to be a straitjacket? You believe that the hardships and the sacrifices of the Christian life are just too much? The pleasures of this world beckon. You want to just relax and enjoy yourself, go back to the world for a vacation, perhaps. You want to do that? They will receive you. The world will receive you. They will welcome you back. This world tonight may put up restrictions on COVID. You can't go in there unless you follow restrictions of COVID. They may put up restrictions on your business. They may watch the border, and you can't go to Canada. This world has all kinds of restrictions, but I assure you that if you blaspheme and swear and curse, and if you party and drink and get drunk, and if you are driven by greed in your life, and if you have the swagger of the arrogance of unbelief in this world against God, I assure you, they will welcome you with open arms, especially if you come to them right after church. They will really welcome you, and they'll say, "Come in, let me buy you a drink." You want to go back? They could not go back. Why could they not go back? They could not go back because of Him who had called them, because of His grace which had drawn them. They could not go back because they saw eternal life and the grace of God, the promises of God. And they saw that all men stood on a precipice, and their next step in death, they would fall off that precipice from their parties, from their pleasures, from their possessions. They saw that men would fall off that precipice into eternal flames and death. And they saw the heavenly. And by faith, they did not go back, because they desired a better country. But now they desire a better country. that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Note, if only briefly with me, that we learn a few things about that eternal city in this passage. First of all, it is called a better country. And the word better is a key word in the book of Hebrews, and it means new or renewed or fulfilled. The book of Hebrews uses the word better covenant, better promises, that is, fulfilled promises, fulfilled covenant. And so this better country that is referred to is not, it includes heaven tonight as it now is, but he's not really talking about the heaven that now is, where we go when we die in our souls, but it's really talking about the new, the fulfilled. It's talking about the new heavens and the new earth in the day of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the new creation, which is the hope of all the saints of Jesus Christ, that eternal city of God, where God shall be all and in all, where we shall live forever with our resurrected body. That's the country that is promised us. We are told, secondly, that it is a heavenly country. It's not earthly. It's not temporal. It's not perishing. It's not for a time. There is no evil there. There is no sorrow there. There is no death. There is no crying. There is only glory. There is only splendor. There is only eternal joy. It's not like any place that you've ever seen on earth. It never grows old. It never wears away. And then thirdly, we are told that God has prepared this city. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Proof, for he hath prepared for them a city. God prepared it. God is the architect. God is the conceiver. God laid it out. It's all about him. It reveals his everlasting love and glory in Jesus Christ. And then perhaps the most beautiful words that you could read in the Bible. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. And we say, really? Really? God is not ashamed to be called my God, me? My sins? He's not ashamed of me? That I call him my God? And he suggests, yes. Because of my Son, because of my eternal love, because of my righteousness, I don't blush. Because of what I did for you, I don't blush. I'm not ashamed that you call me your God. Faith desires this place. All the trials, all the afflictions, all the sorrows are a light thing compared to that. Faith sees that everything on my pathway is ordained of God, and he is leading me there. And therefore I have peace and contentment with his way tonight. I feel myself pulled to it by his word and grace. Accept the disappointments. Accept the trials. Accept the heartaches. Accept the sickness. Accept the cancer. Accept the hardships. Accept the way the Lord is pleased to lead you tonight. Accept that by faith. Every moment of every day, live in the light of eternity. Embrace it. See it by faith. Live. Faith lives. It lives. Union to Christ. It lives. And right now, tonight, it embraces eternity. And that's how we see this present life. Amen. We thank Thee for Thy precious Word. Now we pray that the Holy Spirit may use Thy Word, spoken in weakness, that the Holy Spirit may use His Word to blow upon our hearts, that we too, through the gift of faith, may lay hold of Thy promises and walk this week in the light of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.